Good evening and welcome into the Strike Zone podcast. I am Joe Huck, and as you can tell, well, there's a few things you can tell. First thing you can tell is I am not in my normal location. In fact, I am currently sitting inside our 104.5 The Zone studios as it is just about 30 minutes before first pitch of the Braves and Dodgers game 5 of the NLCS. And okay, if you are a Braves fan and you're hopping in on this right now, I need to know how you are feeling going into tonight, because you have a situation that is absolutely amazing. And when I'm not just saying amazing because the Braves are up 3-1. I'm saying it's amazing because the Atlanta Braves are up 3-1. And they have the opportunity to win this series because they have Max Fried on the hill and the Dodgers are going with a bullpen game. So here's what a bullpen game normally means. If this is your first time really kind of hearing about this, this is something that was started by the Tampa Bay Rays, and it was done so just because of the fact that at the time they did not really have enough starting pitching. And so what they would do is their thought process is if we can get our starting pitchers to only have to go through the lineup one time, maybe two times, we can then get into the seventh, eighth inning, and then we can go back to our bullpen, which is a little bit stronger. So it was started by the Tampa Bay Rays. They started doing it, and people made fun of them. But when the Tampa Bay Rays actually started it, they sent this down through their entire minor league system. It wasn't just the Rays doing this. It was Durham doing this. It was Montgomery doing this. It was Bowling Green doing this. It's, I think they have Port Charlotte or somewhere else is where the Tampa Bay Rays have another facility. And every single team inside their minor league system was doing this. Once it happened for about a half a season or so, you started seeing some other teams going this route. You saw the Oakland A's doing it, which Billy Bean, he's always going to try something extremely, you know, intelligent, trying to use the analytics to try to favor himself just a little bit. So you have that. And then there's just a few other reasons why this starter and this opener has kind of become a thing. Now, it took a while for it to get to the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers of the world, because they had pitching staffs that were amazing. They didn't need to go the bullpen day route the way that a lot of teams are going. So tonight, the Dodgers are going to be going with Joe Kelly. Freaking flame float. Flame thrower is the best way to say that. And he is going to be the one that's going to be starting this game. What they're hoping for is for him to be able to get through either two innings or the lineup one time. The thought process is you're going to have to see this Braves lineup five times. If you can get your opener to go through the lineup once, maybe a couple of guys a second time based on what their pitching statistics are against them, then you bring in your starter, whoever your starter is going to eventually, you know, who your original starter would have been. You let him go through the lineup two times. So now you're getting into your flamethrowers in the back part of the bullpen. And now they're getting to see this. The whole purpose is not only because of the starting pitching, but it's also because the more you see a pitcher, the easier it is to figure out his stuff. Look at what the Braves have done against Urias after seeing him multiple times so far in this NLCS. Look at how the Braves have done against Max Scherzer, which there's a few issues with Max Scherzer. That's not just a Max Scherzer issue. It's actually a Dodger issue, and that's dead arm. Now, if you don't know, and you don't really know about the whole idea of the dead arm basically happens when a pitcher has just thrown so much in a baseball season that his arm just needs rest. And so he may, instead of being good to go for 7 innings or 6 innings, he may be only good for 4 or maybe even 5. That's kind of what we've seen with Max Scherzer, not just through the NLCS, but we also throw it in the NLDS. Heck, we saw it. I'm pretty sure he pitched the wild card game for the Dodgers, And we saw it there as well. So every single time that he's pitched, he's only pitching about 4 2/3 innings, 4 1/3 innings, because his arm is dead. So there's a thought process behind this if you are a Braves fan. Now, I asked you as we started this tonight, how are you feeling about the Braves being up 3-1? And quite frankly, this series should be over with, okay? Anybody else raising your hand that is not sitting out there thinking to themselves that if Cody Bellinger didn't swing at a fastball that was above his head, this series would be over. Over. That's kind of where this would be. This thing would be done. Braves would be flying back to Atlanta. They'd be getting ready for the World Series, and they would be resting up their pitchers. Max Fried would be going game one in Boston or Houston. You would have then Ian Anderson going in game two in Houston or Boston. And then game three would be Charlie Morton back in Atlanta. Regardless as to who the Braves, if they make it to the World Series, who the Braves will be facing, the Braves will be hosting game 3, 4, and 5. I appreciate Will Bowling for helping me out with that, because initially when him and I were talking a little bit earlier today, I thought that if there was a division winner going up against a wild card winner in the World Series, that the division winner automatically got home field advantage. That's the way that it has been through the NLDS as well, the NLCS. That's the reason why the Braves are hosting the Dodgers and have game 6 and 7 back in Atlanta, because they won the NL East where the Dodgers were the wild card team. The record didn't matter. Now, when it goes to the World Series, it resets. And what it means is that the team with the better record between the four that are currently in, and it'll be the two that make the World Series, the two that have between those two, whichever one has the better record gets home field advantage. If you're a Braves fan, you know that the Braves do not have a better record than anybody in the playoffs, okay? Nobody. They don't have a better record than a soul. That's the reason why they were on the road to start game one and game two in Milwaukee. That's the reason why they, and that's the only reason they actually are the home team in the NLCS and have home field advantage, because they're a division winner. And the Boston Red Sox were in that division that was extremely competitive between the Yankees, the Rays, and the Red Sox. We already know how many wins the Dodgers have. We do. We know it's like 109, 110 wins that they already have. But let's get into it. Austin says, I'm feeling really great tonight. It's time to go to the Fall Classic again. Boys, let's do this. Hashtag first time in 22 years. Hashtag Hotlanta. Our man Yorkie Hobson says, let's go Bravos. Butterflies in his stomach. 25 minutes is what we have until first pitch. And look, I'll be straightforward with you. For probably about the first four innings last night, I couldn't watch. First, I was driving. That's really not smart. But also, if you know me, that really doesn't hold me back. But the other part was I was still so upset with how the Braves lost game three that I didn't want this to happen again in game four. I was so gung-ho on the Braves losing game four that I wasn't even going to turn it on. And then when they scored a run, and then another, I kept having to remind myself the Braves were in this exact same situation in game three, and this is what's happening. All right, Brad hops in and goes, hey there, Hunk, I'm so effing nervous. Yeah, I know, I'm with you. If you have not heard the news, Samuel threw it out on there just a few seconds ago, and Jorge Soler has been cleared. In fact, here's the official tweet by the Atlanta Braves. They said Jorge Soler has been cleared by Major League Baseball's joint committee to return from the COVID-19 related injury list, and he will be available for tonight's game in Los Angeles. He will replace Christian Pache on the active roster. Now, the question you're going to have is he going to be starting? No. What the defense is, that they're going to have in the outfield is going to be the same one that they pretty much had for the two games that they have had, pretty much actually the entire series. Eddie Rosario, who has been and is the NLCS MVP if this thing ends tonight, He is going to be in left field. Duvall is going to be in center field. And then you've got Pearl's Jock Peterson is going to be in right field tonight for the Braves. Jorge Soler is going to be coming off the bench. And most likely you will see him at some point in time be a replacement for, I would imagine, Duvall in a double switch at some point in time. At this tonight, Karen goes, so Ronald Acuna Jr. needs to throw out the first pitch at Truist Park when we go to the World Series. Hashtag go Braves. So, again, we're talking about, and we're getting ahead of ourselves because we still have 27 outs or more that the Braves need to do tonight. And if they get the 27 outs, then we can talk about this, Karen. But listen, but to hitting on the, what you just said just a few seconds ago, I think what the Braves are going to do, game three of the World Series, if you get to the first pitch avenue, let's talk about first pitches, because this is always going to be a highly thought about topic, because a lot of times teams want to do something that gets the crowd fired up. Cleveland Indians, this is the reason why you lost in 2016, because Wild Thing Ricky Vaughn did everything but break into Progressive Field because he wanted to throw out the first pitch, and you said no. That's why you lost to the Chicago Cubs. The Braves, on the other hand, game three is going to be spoken for. That is going to be Hank Aaron's family. And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if they went that route with all of the former Braves that have passed away over the year, because they've had multiple players that have passed away that is in the Atlanta Braves Hall of Fame. But what I do think is going to happen is I do think that you're going to have game three, you're going to have Hank Aaron's family is going to be throwing out the first pitch. Game four, then you're possibly talking about going with some nostalgia, probably a Bobby Cox throwing out the first pitch, because he was the manager of the Braves the last time that they went to the World Series in 1999. And he was also the manager of the Braves when they last won a game in the World Series, which people don't realize that. Okay, it's been 22 years since the Atlanta Braves have played in the World Series. That was 1999. They got swept in that World Series, 4-0 to the New York Yankees. It has been almost 25 years. Actually, it has been 25 years since the Atlanta Braves have won a World Series game, because the last win actually didn't even happen in Atlanta. The last win that the Atlanta Braves had in the World Series was at Yankee Stadium in Game 2 of the 96 World Series. So the last World Series win that the Braves had in Atlanta, 1995, Game 6, David Justice and Tom Glavine. Think about how long that's been. Just putting that out there with what could potentially be happening next week. Samuel Riley also says Soler is better than Camargo. I agree with you. Camargo agrees with you. That's why Camargo is in Gwinnett. And that is also, and that's the reason why you got Jorge Soler on this. Look, we've talked about it numerous times on this podcast about how amazing Jorge Soler, Jock Peterson, Eddie Rosario, and all these other players that the Braves traded for at the trade deadline have done to replace Ronald Acuna Jr. And that's also, I think, a lot of people, and I think that that's why tonight could be so special for a lot of Atlanta Braves fans, because you heard it if you were listening to 3HL just a little while ago. Ron Slay even said, look, the last time I remember Joe talking about the Braves, it was when the Braves were barely even around 500, and he was talking about going and selling off the team at the trade deadline. That's where Braves fans were. And look, I will continue to say this. No, the Braves are not the better team. They're not. They do not have the best players on the field across the board. They do not have the better roster over the Dodgers. They do not have a better roster than the Houston Astros. They do not have a better roster than the Boston Red Sox. Okay, maybe they may have the Red Sox beat. Maybe. I'd have to look at that just a little bit more. Pitching-wise? Oh, pitching-wise, if it's Braves and Red Sox, Braves are winning the World Series. Red Sox pitching staff sucks. And if you want to throw Chris Sale out there, this is the reason I told Ron Slay you shouldn't have bet on the Red Sox last night. If you want to put Chris Sale on the mound, Braves are getting a dub. So if they somehow win the next two games in Houston, and it's Braves and it's Red Sox, look, man, Braves are winning the World Series. Go ahead and get that party ready for Peachtree. Now, 27 Freedom says, Jacques has polished pearls tonight. We good. Look, I'm not a pearl guy. I bought my wife pearls when for her, I want to say Christmas, about 4 years ago. But I'm telling you, if every single Braves fan is not rocking some beads in game 3, 4, and 5 of the World Series, you aren't buying into the way that you should. Every single year, majority of the time, there is a team that brings something with them that just becomes like this rallying call. There we go. But it started back in 02 when you were talking about the rally monkey. You've seen it time and time again, whether it was the Texas Rangers with the antlers and the things that they were doing, although they didn't win. Or if you go and you just go through history and you can see all these different teams and some of the things that they were doing that the crowd really kind of got behind. In college baseball, LSU had the rally rat. Yeah, it's really kind of sick. If you don't know about that, just look it up. It's really disgusting. It has to do with the fact that during a... No, it's a rally possum. It's a rally possum. Still sick. But what happened is during a late game one night at the box in Baton Rouge, a possum got onto the field, and the LSU won that game. And so next thing you know, boom, here we go. We have a rally possum. So Brad says, I'm feeling better when he sees Coach Mac. Should I slide over so that Coach Mac could be a part of the show tonight? I'm actually, you can't see this. I got my normal mic, but you see how it's running, rolling around if you're watching this on Zone TV. I'm doing a straight up Freddie Mercury on this. I'm holding the mic. I'm holding the stand like I'm a member of Aerosmith or whatever it is, but I'm calling it my Freddie Mercury mic. All right, we got about 17 minutes till first pitch. Yorkie says he wasn't born the last time the Atlanta Braves won a World Series game in Atlanta. Talking 1995, I mean, people forget how long it has actually been since the Atlanta Braves have won a World Series game in Atlanta. That is a very, very long time. And honestly, it is kind of cool. If the Braves do get to this point, and they do win tonight, or if they win over the course of the next three games, they are in a situation where they are now going to have something that the 99 Braves, even if you go all the way back and you start looking at the 2002, 2003 Braves, those teams that had like Gary Sheffield and Andres Galarraga and all those teams on them, the thing that they didn't have and the one thing that Braves fans got bashed about the most is now you have a fan base that is dying to have some sort of championship. They are dying to have some sort of winner. And so now you don't have to talk about and worry about this whole, oh, you're not going to show up thing. You're not going to make it to the stadium. You're not going to be loud, Bill Plaske. Can we hit on that, please? Oh, my heavens. If there is not a bigger idiot that is calling and covering these games for the LA Times, I don't know. Actually, no, I take that back. Let me pull up a tweet that was sent out just a little while ago. Me and my boy Barrett Salee, we've been talking about this over the course of the last few hours about what is happening. The LA Times Sports, and you can see this if you're watching on Zone TV, LA Times Sports. This is legit. This is the actual LA Times page, 49,000 followers that is following this. It's the sports section of the LA Times. This was their headline for yesterday after the Dodgers lost to the Braves. The Dodgers have scored 2 or fewer runs in 5 of their 10 postseason games. It's one thing to be slowed down by Max Fried or Logan Webb, Logan Webb being the Giants' best pitcher. It's another to look helpless against a group of ham and eggers in a Waffle House of a bullpen. Now, if you don't know where the whole Waffle House thing started and the reason why so many people are talking about the Waffle House and the whole shopping mall, and I've tweeted it out because, quite frankly, it angers me when you think that when you tweet something out because you think that you're better than I am, when you are nowhere close, and you obviously are in a situation that you're about to be made to look like a fool. And that is what Bill Pulaski did when he was tweeting, and he was in Atlanta to start game one, and he said that four innings in to game one, that this stadium that he called a shopping mall stadium was so quiet that it sounded like the middle of May or the fourth inning in the middle of May, and that the most interesting conversation that was happening was everybody making their post-game plans to go eat at Waffle House. Now, there's a few things in this. We haven't got to the other one yet because the other one is the other one that now just straight pisses everybody off. It's not even something that can get you fired up anymore. 13 minutes until first pitch. But this is him coming in, playing to his fan base. They're big bad Los Angeles. The Atlanta Braves don't have their best player. They don't have their best pitcher. They have a bunch of guys that they have traded for that nobody wanted on their team. And now they're going to come in and just run over them on their way to the next World Series championship because they are your current World Series champions and they're defending their title. And we're just going to roll over you. Well, first two games, Austin Riley, Eddie Rosario, take that. And so then he says all these things by making fun of Waffle House, making fun of the Battery in Atlanta. Look, man, and I will tell you, I've been to Truist Park. I have been to Dodger Stadium. I would take Truist Park over Dodger Stadium in any day, any time. I do not care. Because if you have never been to Dodger Stadium, you go to Dodger Stadium and you pull into the parking lot, which the parking lot is massive. It's very old school. Remember, Dodger Stadium, and people forget about this, okay? Remember this for trivia. Dodger Stadium is the third oldest ballpark in America. Major League ballpark. Rickwood in Birmingham is actually the oldest. But Wrigley Field is the second. Fenway Park is the oldest. Dodger Stadium is the third oldest. Fenway and Wrigley were built in like the 1910s and the 1920s. And it's actually like 1908 in 1910s. And LA and Dodger Stadium was built in the 60s. And then right after Dodger Stadium was built, believe it or not, if I were to tell you and ask you what is the fourth oldest Major League Baseball stadium in America, could you tell me what that is right off the top of your head? I'll give you a second as I'm talking about this. But where Dodger Stadium is in a horrific part of town for LA. I went to a game there, and it just happened to be in the very beginning of the baseball season, same year that Kobe retired, because while I was at Dodger Stadium, Kobe was playing his last game at Staples Center, where he went off for like 100-something points. It was like 80. It wasn't really 80. It was like 61. But that was the night it was there. And there's two lane roads and it's horribly backed up. It's horrible to get into. That shot that they showed last night of Dodgers fans leaving, that's the reason why there's a traffic jam there every single night, because it's just in a horrific part of town that they have not built around, because there are homes and businesses. And I want to say that they built that like in the Spanish community of Los Angeles. There's a ton of like Mexican grocery stores and restaurants. And I'm not talking about your Tex-Mex type places. I'm talking about like authentic Mexican restaurants that are so absolutely delicious. But it's also not a safe part of town. Dodger Stadium, horrific. It may have this beautiful Chavez Ravine that is so amazing. And you hear the announcers every single time, "Welcome to game three in Los Angeles," as you're looking over the beautiful Chavez Ravine, whatever it is. You get that. You do not want to go there except for a game. You drive in, you park, you walk to the stadium, you come back. That's it. Braves, they are doing something that is so brilliant that architects are starting to do when it comes to building baseball stadiums. You're seeing it across the board. And the thing is that they are doing is they used to want to put a baseball stadium in an area of town that they could potentially, bringing the stadium in could actually improve the value of all the real estate around it, and they could start building malls and they could start building restaurants and stores and all this other stuff around it. But it didn't work. Look at Turner Field, for instance. I mean, honestly, did you feel safe parking anywhere trying to go to Turner Field unless you were at parking on Old Fulton County Stadium? No. So they took this idea and they said, okay, we're not just going to build a baseball stadium anymore. We are now going to build a community. And so what these architects, it's really one particular architect firm. They probably built 27 or 28 of the 30 Major League Baseball stadiums that are active right now in Major League Baseball. And they build the stadium, and now they also have built this built-in community around it with stores and restaurants and living developments. That's the reason why the apartments and all that stuff is around Truist, and businesses. So that's the reason why you see the big Comcast and all that. 680 The Fan is there as well. It overlooks Truist Park. So they're doing this now because this is the new way of baseball stadiums, of football stadiums, of everywhere. This is what you are doing now. So if your team gets a new stadium, this is what they are going to do. They're going to build you a stadium, and they're going to build a community around it. You can look at somewhere like Texas. Texas is the newest stadium. It unfortunately opened up in a year that in 2020 where there was nobody there, but they had Texas Live right outside of it that connects that and AT&T Stadium. And so there's this big party area that you have before going in there. Samuel even says they did the same thing with the Texas Rangers' new stadium. They have Texas Live attached to it. It's an amazing area. They now are not trying to build downtown. What they're trying to build is they're trying to build outside of town where they have a lot of land that they can build up. There's going to be some Major League Baseball stadiums that are going to be different. Kansas City right now is probably going to be one that's going to be different. They're actually outside of town. If you don't know it, obviously it matches this week with the fact the Titans are playing the Chiefs. But the Chiefs and the Royals share a parking lot. Two stadiums that are almost side by side. They're right in front of each other, but they're trying to get a brand new baseball stadium for the Kansas City Royals. They're actually wanting to move downtown. Why? Because downtown KC is actually amazing. And so, but they also do have some area and they have some old buildings that they can get rid of and build a baseball stadium there. Mark is throwing something out about Philip Fulmer. Go Vols. I don't know. I really don't know how to answer to that. To answer the question about the fourth oldest Major League Baseball stadium in America, it is not Oakland for that Yorkie guess. It is not Camden that Samuel guessed. Camden's actually was built in the early 1990s. I want to say 91 or 93 was when that was built. Oakland is a little bit older. That was built in the 70s, so that's a little bit closest. And it actually is Anaheim, because the Anaheim Angels and the LA Dodgers have basically been in Los Angeles for the exact same amount of time. Just fun fact for you right there. Mater? We going Mater on this. Is that what it is? He says, what's up? What's good, Hunk? First time seeing you on. Man, I appreciate it, bro. We've only got a few more minutes left, and because the Braves are actually about to start here in just a little bit. But now let's talk about the game. And Braves are going with Max Fried. You're going to have Joe Kelly starting for the LA Dodgers. I would say that this is a must-win for the Braves, but I still don't believe in this pitching staff for the LA Dodgers. And I think that that's the reason why you're seeing it. Look, do not bash Will Smith until he gives up a run. Will Smith has been amazing last part of September through all of the playoffs so far. Yes, he's dramatic. Yes, he makes you want to just punch a wall every time he throws a pitch. But at the same time, he's getting outs. Nobody is scoring. So until that does happen, you cannot get mad at Will Smith when he comes out of that bullpen, because he has not given up a run this play in the playoffs. And he hasn't even given up I think he's may have only given up like one run in almost a month. So you can't bash Will Smith anymore. Like that argument now, he's pitching adequate. He's pitching adequate. Steven says, the one night I didn't bash Will Smith is the game we lost. So I will bash Will Smith from here on out. Hey, man, if it does, basically, hold on to your butts. That is all I'm saying. Now, if you want to get into predictions, let me see some predictions as we're wrapping up tonight, because we've got about 5 minutes or so before first pitch from Los Angeles. It's going to be on TBS. Honestly, I would advise you just to mute the broadcast, even though Frank Coors on it. Man, that is so, so bad. But how are you doing tonight, Braves fans? Is the fact that you, again, according to Bill Pulaski, you are a racist because you like the tomahawk chop. How do you feel? Because that was the other part of his tweet that he said later on in the ball game, the Atlanta Braves fans started their racist tomahawk chop. That'll get you going, and that'll get the blood boiling. Samuel says that he believes Fried is going to go 7 innings. Matzik and Smith are going to close it out. Braves are going to win 3-1. Mater says he believes that it's going to be 5-4 Braves with the walk-off. Braves are not the home team tonight, but 5-4 absolutely can happen, and that is something that you are going to be looking for throughout the game. I'm telling you, now that Soler is back, having at bat coming off the bench, you are going to be looking at a very, very dangerous lineup. Look, Eddie Rosario may not even do anything in the World Series if the Braves get past the Dodgers, and he plays in it. He may not. He may do exactly what Freddie Freeman did for the first 30 minutes, or first three games, where he couldn't hit for crap. But you know what? Look at what Freddie Freeman did last night. He started waiting on the ball to come a little bit deeper. He started taking it opposite field, going against the shift, which I do not know why other players do not do this. And then when he finally got something that was a little bit further in, he put it out of the ballpark. He went to the plate and he said, look, I'm forcing this. I'm making sure that I have the ability to breathe a little bit while in the plate. I'm still playing off of adrenaline. I think that having the day off from Atlanta to Los Angeles helped him calm down a little bit. And I really do like the fact that he started to hit the way that he did last night. It takes a lot of patience for a batter to go the opposite field the way that he was. And it wasn't like he was hitting little dribblers down the third baseline. Those were line drives to the outfield. Great opposite field hitting by Freddie Freeman. And I think that, again, that's where he's going to come into this. But Samuel says our bench has done nothing in the NLCS. No, you're right. It really hasn't. And Christian Pache, the only time that he was in, he tried to get that stolen base, and he got thrown out. And then next thing you know, the Braves had a rally that got killed. So I really do want to see Fried go into this and pitch the way that he has been doing so far over the course of the last few games, because Max Fried so far in the second half of the season has been absolutely amazing. He's got a 3.0 ERA right now, and I want to say in the second half of the season, he's got a sub-2 ERA. He has been amazing so far in this. I still don't think that if the Braves get and have to go 7 games, that they're going to be starting Charlie Morton. I know that Charlie Morton really changed it around during his last start after getting through that first inning. I know the Braves did come back and even took the lead after giving up the 2 runs in the first inning. But I don't know if the Braves would go to him in Game 7. I know that you're going to have Max Fried tonight. You're going to have Ian Anderson coming up in Game 6 if it gets to a Game 6. And Charlie Morton may get it, but it may be a very, very short leash on him. And honestly, I bashed Drew Smyly for a good portion of the season, and so far he's been pitching very well, especially last night on that. So I'm going to let you go. It is time to go watch this game. Braves are finishing this out tonight. They are coming back to from Los Angeles to Atlanta and getting ready for the World Series. First time since 1999, I'm calling it. I will see you guys later. Talk to you on Twitter. You guys have a great night. Go Braves. And for Bill Pulaski, chop on, my friend.